Welcome to the Cool Explorations podcast and radio program with your host, Tony Peters. I hope you'll enjoy today's segment. And they're even bringing in what they call MAPS, which I refuse to use that term. It's pedophilia. It's really scary to think that these things are, like you say, being normalized. They're being told, you know, it's okay to be attracted to children. It's okay to want to hurt people during sex. All this stuff is okay. It's perfectly fine. It's normal. And the Bible tells us other things. It tells us something very, very different and paints a very different picture of these acts. These are the kind of things that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed for, which is why I think we're in for some very, very dangerous and very, very hurtful times coming up here, where we're going to be experiencing some changes that people may not like, and they're going to be forced upon us based upon what we've already asked for, which is the depravity. We've asked for it, and as a result, you know, it's going to affect you in different ways. When people think about even transitioning their children and that kind of thing, it's like those changes are not reversible in so many cases, and it's sterilizing the kids. So what happens when your child later on decides, as many of them do, detransition actually as they get older, and they realize, I now want a family, mm-hmm. and you now can't have a family. The emotional baggage there is so harmful to you and your mind, and suicide rates are through the roof. And I believe this is one of the reasons why. And I mean, parents, how do you live with yourself knowing you sterilized your child and now your child wants a family and they can't have a family?
And that's become so culturally acceptable.
Exactly.
That if you speak out against it, you're in the, eventually, I did a little bit of research on this about hate speech. I have a friend that's a teacher who has been told she will have a trans child in her classroom in fifth grade, and it's a he that wants to be called a she on some days. And if she does not address him according to his whims, which she has said she will not do, she could be put in jail or fined because it's hate speech.
Yeah, in Canada, it's that way. People are being put in jail for that exact thing. And I absolutely refuse to use people's pronouns. My Twitter profile used to say pronouns not needed. It's something I refuse to do, because that's it's not being accepting. What it is it's acknowledging it and saying, yeah, it's okay. And I'm okay with what's going on. And it's like, I'm not okay with what's going on. And that is not the way we're meant to be. And I'm not going to use pronouns for people. And there's so many pronouns. Now there's hundreds of them. How do you know what pronoun to use for people?
That's the thing, is how do you possibly keep up? I don't think a person can.
No.
And especially after years of one way, then to be expected to do this other. And I think back to when I was a child, my favorite clothes were white Levi's and cowboy shirts, because that's what my dad wore. And I adored my dad. And so I was a real tomboy for a lot of years. And I think these little girls who are tomboys and grow out of it are being deceived into this evil of believing there's something else. The confusion is so dangerous. It's setting a precedent for a lifetime of dysfunction unless they come to Christ. And that's why I talk a lot about exposing cultural lies and replacing them with biblical truth.
Exactly. Yep. You know, I think that it comes down to manipulation, is what it is. It's a cultural manipulation. And you speak, you mentioned, you know, future. Well, how do you think that this is going to impact future generations and society going forward?
You know, I have done a lot of research on the topic of young adults' sexual activity. And I've done a lot of research even from the secular viewpoint because I wanted to understand what is happening. And many, many young people are not able to achieve intimacy anymore because of the cheap sex that it's being dictated to them. They are being manipulated.
And the porn industry. Yeah.
Right. Porn is such a problem, and porn leads to violence, as you've already mentioned, and to younger and younger experimentation with younger and younger victims. And of course, that all involves human trafficking. The porn industry uses a lot of trafficked victims. Yeah. I've met some of them, and they are actively recruiting younger and younger children, and some parents even sell their children.
Yeah.
And so we are heading into, as you've mentioned, into a time of depravity through the manipulation of evil forces. And I think I want to use some caution in saying that because of my background and knowing how far away from God I was myself. I know that everyone can be redeemed if they turn to Christ. At the same time, the more depraved our mind gets, the further away we are from seeing the truth and light. And so our choices are very, very important in terms of not letting ourselves be manipulated into what society claims is good and healthy, but having a standard that's much higher than that. Not so that we can feel guilty because we can never measure up, because that's not an issue with God's grace being as great as it is. But setting our minds on the things of Christ. In fact, this is a verse that's been really speaking to me lately, and it ties in some other life verses that have changed my life. But in Romans 8, I think it's 8:6, it talks about the mind set on the flesh is death.
Yeah.
And that's what we're seeing in our culture. But the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. And that is truth. That is absolutely true. And the more we set our minds on the things of God, the less we're deceived by the manipulation.
Yeah, and that is how we as Christians can combat exactly what's going on, is setting our minds on Christ and having our desires become in line with God's desires and Christ's teachings, what he has taught us and shown us through his own life. And that's definitely the best way that we combat it. And I, as far as porn, you know, the average age for people being introduced to porn is 11. And you think about that, and you're like, okay, obviously there is not enough restrictions on how people can get into porn. And I remember, even myself, I've mentioned it before in the podcast, that I was addicted to porn growing up due to my past. And I just remember when the internet came in and just how easy it was. It was so easy to access. And it's even more easy now to access than it was when I was growing up. And so it's like that does warp your mind so badly. And if we don't have a good foundation in the Bible, a good prayer life and relationship with Christ, it becomes so much easier to fall into that lifestyle, because you don't have a moral foundation. You don't have something something in your conscience telling you this is wrong. This is not what I should be doing. This is not, you mentioned child sex trafficking. Like when you think about how tied in that is with the porn industry, think about your own child. Would you want your own child living like that, being used like that? And when you put it into that perspective, it's like, heck no. I would die before I allow my children to be used like that. And Christ did die for us. Mm-hmm. He died so that we didn't have to. He died to bring us out of that kind of lifestyle and into a lifestyle that that's right with Christ. And I think that that really ties in well, again, with a verse that, a few verses here, Matthew 11, 28 to 30, that you had mentioned that speaks to taking rest upon Jesus. What does this verse mean? And how can we apply that verse into our own lives?
You know, that is one of my favorite passages because I have been alone a lot and I don't have to be alone. It's 28. I'm going to read 28 through 30, if that's all right.
Yep.
Because they are so tied together. This is Jesus talking and he says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And because of what happened with my family, ultimately, it was about 20 years ago, so it's been a long time, but it was absolutely devastating because I was trying so hard to live a good Christian life, and there were forces at work against me that just everything blew up. And I didn't have to go through it alone. It was devastating. And I was alone, but I wasn't, because I was able to come to Jesus. So that's what this means to me, is that I could come to Jesus and I was weary and heavy laden. I was burdened, and he could give me rest. When I would fix my mind on him and take his yoke on me, the thing is that when I'm looking at God's purposes, it does bring life and peace. And when I'm looking at my own self, and this is something that's really a part of our culture today, is that it's all self-focused. You know, whatever makes you happy, you should do.
Yeah.
Follow your heart. You know, you think of all the things that we're told that are self-absorbed, and it's led to a lot of narcissism. It's led to the breakdown of the family because people are so intent on taking care of themselves and doing what they want that they're not being there for family members. They're not caring for others the way that God would have us do. And so society as a whole is getting more and more self-absorbed. But when we come to God and we focus on him and take his yoke on us, it is light because the Holy Spirit helps us. The Holy Spirit gives us the strength we need. He gives us the wisdom that we need. And we're not alone in it. He empowers us by his Spirit to do things that we never dreamed we could do. If somebody told me I would live the life I've lived, I would have thought they were out of their minds. But by coming to God day by day by day, and step by step, sometimes moment by moment, he has completely transformed my life. And even though I still would say it wasn't what I had hoped for and what my deepest desires I thought were, I have to say in many regards it's better. That I wouldn't trade my relationship with Jesus for anything, because he's always with me. I'm never alone. I used to be terrified of the dark. And this is a funny story. I hadn't thought about telling this, but it is funny. I used to be terrified of the dark. And when my family all left, I was here alone. And I didn't know how I was going to manage, so I asked my friends to pray for me. Well, to show you the progress that I made, one night I heard this horrendous noise, and I heard men talking, and it sounded like they were in my dining room. And I really believed there were men in my dining room. I was horrified, and I thought, if I call the police, they'll never get here in time. I actually prayed myself back to sleep. And the next morning, I found out that a car had driven up on my front lawn, come within about 2 inches of my dining room windows, and the guys had gone back down the side street. I'm on a corner, so they were almost in my dining room. My neighbor saw the whole thing happen. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning, and he just happened to be watching out the window. But I knew that Christ was my safe place. And that I just think that's so funny, because I was absolutely terrified of the dark. And after that night, it was like, okay, you know what? Jesus is with me. He'll take care of me. I found rest for my soul, you know, by coming to him and being partnered with him, his yoke on me. I did find rest for my soul.
Yeah.
Oh, and there's, I do want to say one more little thing about those verses is the willingness to learn, because I couldn't do it my way and on my own strength. I had to learn from him.
Yeah. He does help us find rest. And that is so comforting to know that we can turn to him in these times where we're afraid. And I think of my own children. My son has always been afraid of the dark, and my daughter has a lot of anxiety. She suffers with anxiety badly. And we just keep telling them, okay, when you're afraid, who's with you? And then they're like, Jesus. And we're like, and who is stronger than anything else on this earth? God is. And just walking them through that and having them acknowledge that, it does help them become calmer. And like you say, just find that peace. And, you know, we've found that that's very, very helpful with my daughter, especially, reminding her of these things, that no matter what you're anxious about, God is there with you, and he will help guide you. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to help you. So I find that I can relate to, because my own daughter, especially, that she finds so much rest and peace in that, and just having her basically self-talk. We've had her that self-talk her way through her anxieties through counseling. We've been able to help her develop those techniques, and the Bible has definitely been key for us in that. And another verse that you had found that you really like is Galatians 5:16. Which I think is another fantastic verse that we can apply to our lives. So if you just want to read that and then explain what it means and how we can apply it to our Christian lives, that'd be awesome.
It says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." And I'd say if there's one verse in the Bible that has been the most important to me, it's that verse, because there's so much I can't do on my own strength, and especially with my own family relationships, with work, which was, I was working way over my head when I worked with the scientists. I actually failed astronomy in college because it was so boring. And here I was editing books by an astronomer and a biochemist. I pray Galatians 5:16 very often, that I'll walk by the Spirit so I don't carry out the desires of the flesh, because my flesh is very sinful. I've proven that. And I never know when I'm going to be tested or tempted in things that could destroy me. So I often, or could destroy really important relationships. In fact, I just had this happen this week with people I very much care about, that I needed to talk to them about something that was really important. And by asking the Holy Spirit to help me by asking God to help me walk by the Holy Spirit and do things His way instead of what I think should work. And that keeps me from trying to manipulate my circumstances or by being self-absorbed and trying to get what I want. It changes me. That has really been key in my transformation, in being able to figure out what God wants and by the Holy Spirit incorporating that into my life. And of course, Galatians 5 goes on to talk about the desires of the flesh, which I was really caught up in. And then the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. I'm sure I can't quote scripture very well, so I won't try, but all of the wonderful things, the riches, and we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to have those things. I can honestly say that I've had a life pretty much filled with peace, which is rather incredible considering the circumstances.
Yeah, and it's amazing how God just shows us that over time, humanity has not changed. Technology has changed, but humanity has not. We are still just as depraved as they obviously were in that time when Paul had to write this, and when Peter spoke of these things, Rome was so depraved that they ended up destroying themselves due to their own depravity. And we have not learned over time from that, but God has remained the same. God has remained with us and with humanity throughout all of this. He's not given up on humanity. And I think he's at a point where he's kind of being like, you want to be like Israel, you can be like Israel. And yet he's like, when you're ready, I'm there. I'm here. And for those of us who are believers and following him, and we're choosing to go and be counterculture, we are hit hard in society. I can say that even with my own channel being hit. And yet, as long as we remain faithful to God, he's there. He promises he's there with us. He promises he's not going to leave us. He will be with us. And as Christians, we have Jesus Christ that we can rely on. And I think both the section in Matthew 11, that 28 to 30, and Galatians 5, 16, both speak to that, that no matter how depraved things get, no matter how much we ourselves turn our back on God, he's like, I am here when you're ready. And it's that agape love that he has for us, that deep love where he's just like, I am not giving up on you. You're not hopeless. And that is so, it brings so much peace to your heart.
You know, it really does. And not only that, but we can pray that God will encourage us when we get down in the dumps, and you know, we see our own depravity. I think that's what helps us not to judge others too harshly, because there but for the grace of God go I. And, you know, sometimes God has absolutely blown me away by his goodness to me. Surprises that I never would have dreamed or expected. That's what's given me an extraordinary life, is the things that only God could have brought about that are over the top good. And it makes life so exciting, because I never know what's around the next corner. I don't have to wait till I die, because God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. And sometimes those gifts come in the form of, I won really big on Let's Make a Deal. And I knew I was going to win. The Holy Spirit was telling me I was going to win. I knew that was going to happen. And that story's in my book too, so I won't go into it. But more recently, going away, Mother's Day, I was alone because my youngest son, who I'm much closer to now, works as a chef, but the next day I went down to the resort where he works, and the red carpet was rolled out for me, not even by his request, but because I was a family member, they upgraded me to a suite. He had flower arrangements that he had saved from the Mother's Day celebration there. I was treated like a queen, and I could never do that in and of myself. That was God's doing. You know, the Lord sometimes has just surprised me with things that I never dreamed or expected or asked for. God has been at work. And a couple of times my car has been totaled, which was devastating. But then I was given a new car. And, you know, it was amazing to me how God is through it all if we just keep looking at him.
Yeah, and I think that kind of leads us into our wrap-up question, which is, what hope can we take from the scripture? And I think that you were just speaking on that, but is there anything else you'd like to add to that hope that we can take?
I think the thing I would most like to say is that even when things look really awful, the worst of the worst, in fact, I've learned to ask God to take this worst thing and turn it into the best thing. And I've seen him do that. You know, so studying all of scripture and understanding the stories of Israel and how they rebelled against God and then God's plan for salvation and how he wants us to live, there, it's inexhaustible, the goodness of God and the riches in Christ, if we will look for them. But it does take some digging. It takes surrounding ourselves with people who we can interact with about the Lord. It takes prayer and perseverance. And when we don't have it, we can ask for it. And that's the best part, is that when I'm feeling like quitting, I can ask God to help me not quit. So we have this whole treasure chest that we can explore for the rest of our lives. No matter how old we get, it's inexhaustible. And that's just going to lead us into heaven. And the scientists I work with have had me convinced that the more we learn here, the more we apply here, the bigger our experience of heaven is going to be. That we will be, we're not just going to go sit on clouds and play harps. That's not what heaven is. There will be more than likely work and things that satisfy our souls in ways we don't even comprehend now.
Yeah.
But we can be preparing for that now.
And it'll be like what the Garden of Eden was intended. Where Adam and Eve, they worked. They were happy in their work, that there wasn't a toil kind of feeling like it's burdensome, and there wasn't the pain. And I'm looking forward to just seeing and being amongst all these different animals, and you don't have to be afraid of the animal. Like God talks about, like, children will lead lions, and it's just like, I am looking forward to that, because I think that is just going to be incredible, because we were speaking of photography before we came on here, and I love nature, and I love looking and being like, God was so creative. Like when you look at like things like the goblin shark or the one fish that has a lantern in front of its where it like guides fish basically into its mouth. And it's just like, God was just so creative and imaginative, and the different colors of birds. I was blessed the other day. We actually, we saw yellow finches just the side of our house. And I know a lot of people who are bird lovers, they know how rare it is to see these yellow finches, but they were just the side of our house. And I pointed them out to my wife, and there's a couple of them. And we're just like, in all my years, I've only ever seen them once in this area. And just looking at them in the beautiful colors, and I can just look and I'm like, yeah, our God is amazing. Our God is big. And when we get to see all these creatures in heaven and we get to be amongst them, oh, it's going to be amazing. And I think that, you know, yes, there are wonderful things here in this earth, But I think that just the excitement that we have for heaven is just so much more. But God does give us that hope here on earth too. And he gives us that promise that I'll be with you through it all. And like you were saying, he can bring that good and perfect things out of even situations that we think are hopeless. He's like, they're not hopeless. I've got this.
Yeah, and he does. He really does.
Well, thank you for coming on and sharing with us today. It's been a real pleasure. And we'll have to have people check out your book and check out some more of the stuff that you're editing as well. Because my son and I, we love science stuff. So we're kind of nerdy that way.
Oh, it's fascinating when you tie it to the Creator. And when things are tied to the Lord, it's like, oh, if that had been part of my college class, I would have probably loved it then.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, very cool.
Thanks again. And I hope everybody has a wonderful and blessed day.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you for listening to the Cool Explorations podcast and radio program. I hope that you've enjoyed today's segment, and I hope that you'll consider supporting us at Cool Explorations on Patreon, as well as you can shoot me an email at tpeters745@gmail.com if you'd like to support in other ways other than Patreon.